Dab, Zach, Brad, and Kyle. Hunter, Graham, Lindsay, T-Dab. Chance, Ben, Trey, Jacob, Christian. Don't forget his name's Fred Gaskin. Afternoon Delight, Village Vice. I'm about to see the light. This is half three hearts. The baseball game is about to start. Nope, there's a 6-hour rain delay. Albernator, birds and gators. Panama Canal has got a savior. Zach hates Matt, Big Ben Brad. I just took you 2-pound town with a strap.
It's time, guys. It's time for a Barncast, and I know we don't have a game to watch together. This is the old school Barncast, the Sunday night Barncast. It's Kyle Rush, it's Daryl Daprich, and Daryl is gushing over Alex Golish's recruiting right now. Got a bat signal out. We got commits lined up this week. So much to talk about. How you feeling, man?
Well, I want to say this. I just got notification that that song has been streamed more now than the Michael Jackson songs. You know, the Michael movie came out.
It's on
the records for all the, you know, Human Nature, all those songs. We Love the Barn has just now surpassed Human Nature. So let's go.
Yeah, we're going platinum.
Yep.
We're going to go platinum, gold, all that good stuff.
I'm feeling good. I am. I think that, look, in May, you started to sense a little bit of a shift. There was some worry. There was some hand-wringing. There was some concern because of the number of commits Auburn had. People were piling on. Is this
just lost a quarterback?
You lost a quarterback in Mensel, right? And then right. I think that all of a sudden, there were some people that had kind of come on and said, hold on, pump the brakes. Some recruiting experts, some analysts, and people that have done this in the industry, inside and outside our organization, that said May and June could be really, really prolific for Auburn. And then all of a sudden, they start to come in May. And we all warned about Big Cat. We said, don't look at Big Cat like we've done in the past. Don't think that there's going to be, you know, a flurry of commits after that. But look at that first official visitors weekend. If Auburn's going to make a move, and by God, did they. And then it just kind of carried over to this weekend to where they're on a trajectory right now. And I don't mind saying it, that if everything kind of plays out like we think it could, this, I don't care if, you know, we thought originally 18, 19, they'll probably take 22, 23 if it plays out the way it should. This should get Auburn in the top 15 in the nation and stay there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Incredible for a first recruiting class. And then I look at the quality of that class too, like the average star ranking, and then I look at the offer lists that Auburn's going up against and beating. And that's why you can't help but be excited about it.
Yeah, even some of the, you know, quote unquote underrated guys that aren't rated as high, you look at their offer list and you're like, man, Auburn, there's a lot of big time. I mean, Jalen Moore is the one that comes to mind. It's like everybody in the Southeast wanted him, and that theme carries throughout a lot of these guys. Dap, another weekend of official visits, another bat signal that went out. Was it earlier today? I think is when it went out. Another eagle, another war dam with an eagle beside it. And what always happens when that happens is you play the game. Who is it?
Mm-hmm.
You start playing the game. You start asking questions. Okay, we know it's a new Eagle, so it wasn't a part of the last Eagles. It's just a fun. It's honestly really fun to start trying to fill in the blanks. But it feels like it's becoming pretty clear who it is, and it's another big one to add, literally to add to what's already a really good offensive line class.
Well, it's who I told Zach last week when they had the list of official visitors. I mentioned two names specifically. And the second name I mentioned, with him being an interior offensive lineman, I said, this is the one I want the most from this weekend. And I envisioned him alongside Von Brandt 2-3 years from now playing on that Auburn offensive line, and it got me giddy. And so when you start putting the pieces together, and I'll let you say the name because it's your show and I'm going to let you do the reveal, but when you start putting the pieces together in some of our sources and some of the things, when you read the tea leaves, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. It really feels like that we could be closing in on adding Reed Ramsire to the class, 4-star interior offensive lineman. And it's Ramsire, like S-I-R-E on the end. That's how you pronounce it. So make sure you get that right. That goes out. And then later today, remember his final graphic that said it was the top two was Auburn and Texas. And I think 30 to 40 minutes ago, before we hit record, he has canceled his official visit to Texas. So he was supposed to go to Auburn, obviously, this weekend, go to Texas next weekend. And I believe now that is canceled, according to their mods over on the Texas Inside. Basically, they're on three. Bore, he was set to take the visit. He tells Inside Texas it's no longer the case. Says Auburn hit a home run this weekend during his official visit, and we believe that's where he'll commit very soon. And that's from Justin Wells, one of their lead writers. So there you go. There you go. It looks like potentially, I don't know when, probably it could happen while we're, you know, while we're live. But let's assume that he's, you know, going to be on the commit list very, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
On that offensive line class, you got obviously Leighton Von Brandt's the headliner. I say headliner. Reed's going to be up there too on the interior. You got Rance Brown, who could project as a really good player down the road, and then obviously Jalen Moore too,
who got the train going. Let's.
I mean, he may end up one of the better ones of the class.
Yeah, the one that commits first like that sometimes gets lost in the shuffle when you get three big ones that come after that. But I never forget where it started or who laid the groundwork, and that was Jalen. And then you got four really, really good offensive linemen. And we've talked about this to her blue in the face. Offensive linemen are hard to project. Don't play the star game too much when you see a 3-star or a 4-star offensive lineman, because they're hard to rate because they're 2 years away from playing. It's very rare that a kid comes in and plays right away. And so you're more projecting than anything else. And to do that, that's why you don't see a lot of 5-stars get attached. But a high 4-star, and Auburn now has two, is pretty stinking special. And it's pretty much a foundation of what you want to do when you're building an offensive line that could potentially put you in the college football playoff down the road. Because you got to have the lines of scrimmage. You have to. And you can't keep fixing it in the portal. I think it's a hybrid. Remember, the programs, Kyle, that have gone on to have success year after year after year, plug holes along their defensive and offensive lines with the transfer portal. They don't build them that way. And so you've got to still have a mixture of those high school kids that are 4-stars that are really, really good to develop and to bring them along in 2 years. And let's think back to a couple of years ago. What did we have to do? Basically rebuild an offensive line with nothing but transfers.
Mm.
That's not sustainable. It's really not. The way Auburn's doing it right now, mixing it, meshing it, I think is the way to go. And I like last year's class. I mean, there's some kids that, you know, that could play from last year's class, a couple of surprises that Auburn found, some diamonds in the rough. You can't forget about a kid like Cale Ellis. So they're getting it done along the lines of scrimmage. And I tell you, it's why it's got me gushing. It's pretty exciting to look at what they've done in the defensive backfield potentially and along the lines of scrimmage.
Feels good to slap Texas around too. You know what I mean?
Well, it does, because what we know is that the visit was a home run. We know that. We have really good intel that says he had a really good visit and he was very impressed. What you don't want to do is have him come off that visit and then go to Texas and get wooed recency bias. So you were hoping that that visit was strong enough to keep him from getting and going to Austin, which is a fun place to visit. I mean, it just is.
Sure,
and they did that. And by doing that, I think they've procured his commitment, and that's a big one.
No doubt about it. And it's not like this was nobody on their list. They need interior offensive linemen. Like I said, the guy that posted that, he said, hey, the search for interior offensive line continues. So this wasn't like we just stole we kind of like him. You stole one of their top priorities, which is feels like kind of like it came out of nowhere too.
It did. I mean, you start hearing a little bit of buzz, maybe 7-8. Well, look, again, I always think these things are cyclical and they're contagious. And when Von Brandt committed and then Brown committed, sometimes you want to get on that train and go, wow, that could be a really cool offensive line to be a part of.
Yeah, no doubt.
And so that's kind of what happens. It just kind of snowballs.
I love it, man. So I don't know when that's going to happen. Again, it could happen while we're recruiting. So, while we're recording. So if it does, obviously we'll talk about it. But it looks like he could be the next person in the class. Let's talk about this week, though, because I don't think that's going to be – I mean, I think there could be more this week. You know what I mean?
We can lean in. You want me to lean into the mic and say it?
Yeah.
We ain't done.
We ain't done yet. So whenever, if Reed actually pops, we ain't done yet. Let's shift over to the other side of the line of scrimmage. And a position that we need some help. Obviously, you need help. All we want pass rushers. That's the way you got to go in this game. You got to be able to affect the quarterback. And Ryan Jackson has a commitment date. One of those kids from Maryland. He has a commitment date. I believe it's. I've seen people say it's the 9th, and I've seen him on his Twitter say it's or X. It's the 10th. Regardless, it feels like that decision could be made very, very soon. And when you post a picture of you, when you only post a picture of you with your position coach at Auburn, which will be your position coach at Auburn, to me that kind of speaks volumes. And that's what Ryan did. He posted a picture of him and Coach Hutzler, and no caption, no nothing. It's just a picture of those two, and he didn't do that for anyone else that I can see.
Yeah, that's a connecting the dots moment. That's leaving some breadcrumbs. That's one, and then there's two or three more that Auburn's really favored to land from an edge position, and so now you're strengthening. Look, I don't know how you see it. I mean, you've never really addressed this. We've never really talked about this. There's two schools of thought about it, where an edge rusher lines up. Do you consider him to be a line of scrimmage guy along the line of scrimmage? I do. Even if you put one hand in the dirt and you line up, you're lining up on the out of – even if you're outside and you're on the line of scrimmage. So I consider them line of scrimmage dudes. I just do. Mm-hmm. So that – look at that now. If you add two or three edge guys, now you're strengthening the other side of the ball, and pass rush is it. Kyle, when you look at what the potential – of this secondary could be as far as bodies and talent. When you combine an effective pass rush with a quarterback getting rid of the ball quicker, getting rid of it without stepping into the throw because he's getting the pockets collapsing, it has a potential to finally flip that, turnover ratio, turnover margin, some of those things that Auburn really needs to get back where they need to belong. You know, it turns 6 wins into 8 wins.
Sure.
That all starts with sacking the quarterback's nice. Strip sacks are nice. Strip, fumble, but pressures and making the quarterback uncomfortable with this potential of secondary, I think it even speaks. It's one of those stats that may not go to a sack or that guy may not get credit for, but it's going to help the defense.
Reverend Barn Booster says the difference is that the excitement previously was largely based on Hugh Freeze's resume. The excitement around AG is being driven by visible energy, recruiting momentum, and a clear direction for the program. I think you can sum that up as there was a lot of hype. There's a lot of hype, and not a lot of action really followed it. And you really rode the wave off of hype, and you just never quite got there. And this feels more – I agree. I mean, you look at – you're hitting positions of need across the board. You're taking guys early that you love, even if they're somewhat, you know, lower rated. You're getting them in the boat now because you like them now, and you can – you feel like they could translate to what you want to do in the future. Yeah, it just feels like you got a purpose at what you're doing, like an actual plan instead of just trying to win a recruiting rankings war.
Yeah, and I'll give you another indicator of that that's very, I don't know, I guess a little reassuring to me. When Auburn got Myron Johnson Cook to commit, which was such a big thing from a running position, a nationally ranked running back, there was this verbiage or this narrative that, yeah, but could they keep him? Right?
Yeah.
Is this just one of those window dressing things? He commits, it makes the class. Well, we're getting word today, are we not, that we're hearing a few things, some rumblings that he's probably shutting down his recruitment.
Yep.
If that happens, and then he also, I know that he was recruiting, he was key in getting Kingston here, the other running back.
Yeah.
When you start having that culture, I get it. I remember doing the show after Riddick committed and Perry Thompson at the pool and Cam Coleman. I was all, yes, that was great. But was there substance to that? Why were they committing? Did it feel a little bit empty? You know, was it sustainable? What did he do with them after? I mean, Auburn had on paper one of the best receiving classes in the country and did
maybe
nothing.
Ever.
Yes, did nothing with it.
Yeah.
Couldn't get them the ball. So, I don't know. This seems not only more sustainable, it seems more authentic. I guess that's the word I was looking for.
There you go. Seems, I think that's a good word.
It seems more authentic. And then what's he going to do with them when they get on campus, to me, is going to be a lot more genuine as well.
Yeah, I remember when Myson Johnson Cook committed, I was like, man, we're going to have to battle. And we still do.
Yeah.
We're going to have to battle down to the till he moves in. You know what I mean? Until he moves into certain classes in January. And he's shutting down, like, no more visits. Like, not no more visits. He's not taking any visits.
Right.
At least for right now. There's several reports on multiple sites that say that. That's huge, man. That's huge.
Well, when you recruit other running backs to come to the room, too, you're not doing that if you're not planning on being here. No, and it also shows that you're not insecure and soft. You've got a 4-star running back that you're saying, come on, share the backfield with me. Let's go. He's not insecure. He's got a strong mental frame that says, I don't mind competing. And by the way, if I have to share the load a little bit, I want to share it with this cat. Let's go win some games. That's the mindset you have to have.
Right. A guy that Auburn, I think, was hoping to close this weekend, may still do it, but I'm almost wondering, Dap, if MJ Evans is on borrowed time right now as far as his potential of being in this Auburn class. He's doesn't seem that close to a commitment. He's going to take 2 more visits. They've really tried to put the clamps on him multiple times. I almost wonder if it's getting to the point where, I mean, knowing, or at least what I think I know about Alex Golisher, how I think he may react in some of these scenarios, it may be getting to the point where it's like, okay, you know what? Time's up. We're going to move on.
Yeah, I mean, if you get this kid from Maryland, if Jackson commits, and then is the other kid Pace, the
James
other
Pace,
edge?
He commits James on the Pace. 19th.
those two in the boat,
yeah.
You know, you better grab an oar. I mean, is there room? And so it's interesting that he is probably on the clock. They are putting a little bit of pressure on him, and that's okay. Now, they have room, and that's the good thing about this particular class. If you had to extend from 22 to 23, you could do that. You know, you're not locked in. There's plenty of room. Probably a receiver I will jump on again. You know, and we kind of brushed over it, but you talked about getting in early on kids. I think Chapman is an example of that. I think that this is a kid that by the time he's done playing his senior year of football, with everything that he's going to put on tape, there's going to be a lot of suitors that come calling before he puts pen to paper. And so Auburn doing what they did when it was Wake Forest, that was now I think they'll be able to fend those people, because I really like him and I think his ceiling is really high. And I think he's been one of those guys that gets re-rated by the end of the year.
I always say, like, when you're looking at guys like that, if you take them in May or June, I'm way like cooler about it than if you're taking them the last weekend in November and you're trying to just get a body. They'd like these kids.
Yes.
They like these guys. And that to me means more than really any rating beside their name. They want them in right now.
And Auburn has this really kind of weird knack for getting defensive players anyway, late in the class, like a last signing that people seems like a panic sign or just add bodies. And a couple of those guys turned out to be like Caleb Harris and Daniel Thomas. Really good safety. So, that's one of those things too, that when people look at that and they kind of become an afterthought when they're like the last kid added to the class, not necessarily, they can move on. So.
Yeah. So you still got two official visit weekends left. I think this coming up, the big headliner is going to be Carlos May. And I know he's still planning on an August decision, but that one seems to be maybe more up in the air than you want to at this point in time. And then it could just be him playing the game. But I know Auburn wants to get him here as fast as possible and make an impression, because he's very important to, think about this, Dap. Think about this class with those edges and everybody we've mentioned, Donovan Moore, and then you throw Carlos May in there, who's your big time, like your nose in the middle.
If you can pull a Tay Walden too, which is a surprise, and get him, and you add that to a Carlos May, then you shoot up another two spots as well, and you could be talking a top 12 class. So there's a lot that could still be happening, but there's still more exciting work to be done, and I think there's still some big dogs out there that Auburn's gonna be really excited when they make their announcements.
Absolutely. So a lot of fun stuff this week. Just keep your head on a swivel, man, because there's gonna be a lot going on, it feels like, especially, early this week. Still Kenyer Crumbs out there too.
Yes.
I've seen different dates with him. Was he part of the Eagles? Was he one of the three that are left to commit, or was it someone else? We'll have to see how that plays out. So fun stuff, man. Dap's loving it. I'm loving it. I know you guys are loving it too. The mood was high just now, and I'm afraid the mood may take a turn.
Yeah.
But haven't really had a chance to talk since the Barncast. Obviously, Auburn drops two in a row. Close ones, very similar outcomes where you just couldn't quite get the bats either going or get the balls to fall, even when you did, barrel one up. It's the second year in a row. Auburn, they're 0-4 right now, 0-4 in the last 2 years as far as super regionals at home for baseball. Let's talk through it. How are we feeling about it? It feels like Auburn's going to be one of the top teams in the country preseason going into next year. Just overall thoughts about baseball and where we are as a program right now.
Well, unfortunately, and I've said this a lot of times, two things can be true at once. You can be excited about having Butch Thompson as your head coach and what this program is capable of doing in the future looking bright, but still reflectively say this is a disappointment and an underachievement. So two things can be true at once. I think Auburn needs to find a way when they are favored or expected to do well in super regionals to get it done. They seem to go to Omaha when they're the underdog, when they're on the road. They found a way in 2019 and 23 to get it done. But when they are the hunted, this regime, this staff has struggled. And that's got to get fixed, because I feel like they are going to be the hunted for a while. This program, regardless of what people want to say and write it off and leave it for dead, it will be a favorite again next year. It'll go out and do well in, non-conference and hopefully do well in the SEC. They have established themselves as a program to be reckoned with. They just need to have to learn on how to achieve and succeed when the bullseye is on their back. And they look like they grip the bat too tight. They look like they even played the regionals tighter, let's be honest, than it should have been. And look, I'm not making excuses. I'm stating facts when I say this. Sometimes things just do not fall into your lap, or, you know, luck of the draw the way it did for some other programs. I mean, West Virginia got Cal Poly. I love Troy, my alma mater. I did broadcasting. I did baseball games on the radio for Troy. They got a break getting Little Rock. Alabama got St. John's. Auburn had another SEC school that had good pitching, and they did not rise to the occasion. And to me, I'm sorry, that is underachieving, but it doesn't mean the program's dead or you make wholesale changes. You figure out what you need to do to get it fixed, especially, again, when you are the favorite. You cannot host Supers 2 years in a row and not win a stinking game in the Supers. It just can't happen.
Yep, got to change something really, really quick. I do think it's fun. I think it's interesting that where we were after they were swept by Alabama and then where they ended, you know, being one of the top 16 teams left in the country, essentially the Sweet 16. You got to the Sweet 16 in baseball, which is, you know, a good achievement. But, hey, you've done it twice now in a row. We really want to take that next step. And I got news for them. The bullseye ain't coming off the back anytime soon.
Well, think about this, Kyle. People keep wanting to focus on the Supers, and I hate to be that guy, but the Supers came off the back of a very, very disappointing regional where you got beat by Penn 2 years ago. So you got the regionals where you couldn't even get out of your own regional. You get beat by an Ivy League school, and then you advance to Supers and get swept by Coastal, and then you advance to Supers again and get swept by Ole Miss. So really you're talking about a three-year arc of disappointment.
Sure. So we're in the middle of the portal. So the baseball portal's kind of going on right now. Obviously, you'd love to advance another weekend because that just keeps everybody together. So there's going to be people coming after some of these guys.
Absolutely. I mean, so, Auburn has especially so many non-draft eligible guys, Kyle, that were freshmen and sophomore. Many. So you got to – if you can keep that core – you're set. I mean, just keeping your own players before even going into the portal. And SEC Media Days is going to be very, very interesting. And let me tell you guys why. And this is why you're going to be tuned in to Kyle and Zach and I and Lindsay during SEC Media Days when we do these shows. Right when SEC Media Days concludes, there's those draft. The draft happens and you find out who's staying and who's going and your high school players that you may have committed. I remember being at that ambush event last year and Butch Thompson being very distracted when we talked to him because he was getting texts about players. And so we'll know a lot coming out of SEC Media Days, not only from the football side, but what this roster may look like.
Absolutely. Gosh, the Barncasts were fantastic, though. I wish we would have had one more.
Oh, they were so much fun. I struggle. You're going to be my therapist now. You ready? You can put your therapist hat on.
Come on.
I am one of those people that is wired when I watch, if I'm not in person covering it, if I watch Auburn Athletics on television, I struggle. It is an anxiety-ridden thing for me, right?
Yep.
Bourbon is my friend when I'm watching some of these games. I'm just being honest with you. So being able for basketball, like the road games or baseball, to be on with you guys and watch it. We all kind of go through it together, the ups and the downs, and it's therapy. We're like on a couch or at a bar stool. It's good for me. And I actually found myself looking forward to it going, oh, I get to be on so I can watch it without so much anxiety. You guys, it's distract. We laugh. You take my mind off of it. Otherwise, my blood pressure, whew, I just wish I wasn't wired that way, but I am.
It's funny you say that. Because I think I'm very similar. And we started these watching football. And I can tell you, like, I'm not a fun person to watch a football game with. You know what I mean? But having, you know, everybody in the chat, having the memes and the videos and everything to kind of be lighthearted but still be serious at the same time, like, it's just such a fun – it's such a fun experience.
Well, it is. And I know somebody, you know, Kathy in here talking about how she reacts – when you're covering a game, whether it's basketball or football, as you know, there's a decorum or a certain way, you know, you're supposed to act in the press box. You cannot show emotion. You cannot get you don't cheer in the press box, you don't root in the press box, and so you have to be reserved. You also don't do that on media row in basketball. So I have to really be buttoned up,
right,
and suppress. And it's good for me that I can't do that because it keeps me locked in because I'm there to do a job. Arizona was extremely tough because I was getting jabs thrown at me from Arizona high school kid, for Arizona college kids. And I just wanted to tell them I may have dated your mom. So shut up. When I lived out here, when I was a student, you can't throw jabs at me. Right. But when you're watching it at home and you're, you know, it's just different. And so the Barncasts make that a lot more fun, a lot more distracting.
And we see a lot of the same names in every single one of them. So yes, I've enjoyed getting to know a lot of you guys, and we got something fun. I got something fun planned. The execution part, I'm still trying to work through, but we're going to do watch parties, and we're going to watch some of the USF games this past season so we can get to know what the offense looks like, get to see Byron Brown play, some actual tackle football games, the physicality, watch some of these wide receivers, how they developed over their year. And just overall, like, get to hang out and then get to know this team. Because, what was it, 13 guys came over. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll get us through.
Go ahead. Yeah.
It'll get us through the next several weeks.
And I think something else that we can commit to, and we'll make it happen. We'll throw it out there. The meetup, the tailgate party for the A-Day game was such a success that we really are committing to doing that for a regular football game. We just have to. It was too much fun. It was such a success. It was great. We want it to grow. We want more people to come out, meet new faces. But it was such a great thing that for a regular football game, not just an A-Day game, I think it'll be special. I think we'll make that happen again.
No doubt. No doubt. Guys, thank y'all for making this a thing. I've sent it to 100 people for their ringtone. So there's orange and blue techno ringtones going off all across the country, I guess. So it's fun, man. Y'all make it great. Guys, we're going to get out of here. Y'all have a great rest of your Sunday. And like I said, keep your head on a swivel. A lot of stuff dropping this week. So stay tuned. You know where to find Dap. You know where to find me. We'll talk again soon.